I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week.
Gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat, because not only I got a director up in the building, I got an actor and a musician, my boy Cranston and Jabbar. How you doing, King?
What's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
Love, love.
How you doing, man? Yeah, love, sure. Man. Yeah. Thank you guys for coming to the show today, man. You know what I'm saying? I know you guys came out to L.A., had the premiere last night. Congratulations. You know, Agent X, if you guys don't know, is their new film. They collaborated together.
Yeah.
You know, and so basically with this show, as I explained earlier, it's about getting insider information for those looking to be in your position. So you as a director, you as an actor and a musician, and collaborating together to put a project out and, you know, facilitating the deals along the way to get this opportunity to premiere to everyone. You know, I want to talk about how you guys even started together, you know. Well, first of all, how'd you guys meet? Let's talk like that.
Oh, man. You're talking about going way back. But we've kind of known each other from childhood, just kind of growing up.
Okay.
St. Pete. St. Pete, Florida.
Okay. Yeah. I know about the Berg.
Yeah, Berg. The Berg.
Yes, sir. The Berg, yeah. And, you know, and so I'm a couple years older than him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, back then when you're a couple years older than somebody, you're like, they're like super young and you feel super old. And then as you get older, you realize how close you are.
Right.
But growing up, you know, I would see him as a little kid, you know, well, I was a little kid too. But
right.
Mm-hmm. We would just see each other in the neighborhood and he would be with, you know, his crew of friends or whatever. And I'd be with my crew of friends. We would always see each other, mm-hmm. You know, just growing up. And then, of course, as you get older and things of that nature, you separate. But there was a spot, place in St. Pete called the Royal Theater.
Mm.
And the Royal Theater was a Boys and Girls Club.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the Boys and Girls Club was this particular one was like an arts academy.
Yeah.
So it focused not on sports and recreation, but more on the arts.
Music
itself.
And dance.
Yeah. Mm. And so, so I was a volunteer there, volunteering to do performing arts with the performing arts program. And him and his crew would always come through and things of that nature. And so, of course, you see people from the neighborhood and things, so you're always like, what's up?
Yeah.
And one of the conversations we had, you know, he was talking about a movie that he had shot called Drops.
Okay.
And
I heard of that. That was you?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I heard of Drops.
Yeah.
I seen some of it, but I didn't see all of it, but... I heard it drops.
Yeah,
okay.
So he was, you know, promoting that they had shot this movie and things of that nature. And at this stage, I was heavy on the theater side of acting.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, and I also was in the process of shooting my first feature film.
Okay.
And so with them having finished that, I was in the process of shooting that. We kind of connected there.
I think I was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I told him.
So he was in your first film?
He wasn't, no, he wasn't in my, he was in my second
one. Second one,
he was in my second one. But my first feature, I told him that we were shooting it and that we're getting ready to, you know, once it's done, we're going to show it in the movie theater.
Mm.
And he was like, you know, yo, man, we're going to do the same thing with Drops.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, cool. And never revisited it after that. They did their thing with the Drops. It was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
I did my thing, and my first premiere at the movie theater was a theater that was hard for them to get into in St. Pete.
Mm. Now, hold on. Before you could proceed, why was it impossible to get into that theater?
So St. Pete kind of segregated,
mm.
and it was like on the affluent side of town,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was difficult, you know, for independents. It's difficult for any independent to get into the theater.
Mm,
but, you know, it was absolutely impossible to get into that particular one.
Right.
You know, and Cran pulled it off.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Cran pulled it off.
All right, now continue.
So, in that, it kind of drew the attention.
Uh-huh.
So, him, a lot of his crew came through to the screen.
We heard that he had got it.
Yeah.
Man, we got to go see.
Absolutely.
We got to see it to believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cran had it laid out, nice.
Yeah. And so when they came and everything was over, we're doing the red carpet pictures and all that good stuff.
Yeah, the interviews on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was fly.
Felt like a movie style,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
So with all of that, one of the things, you know, in the excitement of all of it, you know, he was like, yo, man, we got to work together, man. I'm on my film hustle, you know, all that good stuff. And I was like, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's collab. Let's make something happen. And, you know, some years went by, mm-hmm. and I ended up becoming the office manager and curator for our Black History Museum.
Awesome.
In St. Pete. Mm-hmm. And day one of me on the job, mm-hmm. he's already in the building filming stuff. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't even know how he got in the door.
Right, wasn't the place closed?
Right, the place is closed. And I pull up. And
that's dedication.
I pull up and I go into the door and they're already inside, like, filming stuff. And so I see him with the camera and stuff. And then, you know, it just triggered me again that we had said that we was going to work together. Mm-hmm. And from there, a conversation started and, you know, it just kind of came together from there.
Mm.
And we filmed our movie Art in the City. Where I played a homeless war veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He had already, both Art in the City and Agent X were both his brainchilds.
Okay.
And I came in and I added the other elements to it. So we finished out the script together.
Yeah.
We pieced it all together. We casted it. I mean, we just did all the necessary steps
right.
To get it into being ready to film. And then once we filmed it, you know, I had already had the relationship with the theater from my first time. And we just worked that in. Boom.
That's cool, man. And congrats on you guys actually like starting something and finishing it together. You know, yeah, a lot of people that get together usually, you know, break apart.
You know, it's not down, yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But I want to talk about that process when you guys, you know, he had the idea and then you had the finishing elements and you guys got together and basically trying to, it's only YouTube, but there's so many roles that need to be filled, mm-hmm. like, casting,
yeah.
directing, editing, you know what I'm saying? Like, how did you guys decide who, I mean, delegate the task between you two?
I want to say we just kind of naturally took to the roles
mm-hmm.
that we both naturally are good at
mm-hmm.
and not trying to act and take his role, you know, mm-hmm. reverse, you know, and so ain't no conflicts.
Yeah.
So we're not having those ego fights of I'm trying to do what he does best and he trying to do what I do best. We kind of like let the expert handle it. And we put in a little input, right. you know, I give him some input. Hey, man, maybe you need to do this, but I ain't going to tell you how to act. You know, you the actor. And I think that when you have partnerships, that be the conflict.
Mm.
When you have two heads bumping,
mm-hmm.
trying to do one task that the other probably really should be doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it just flourished. I mean, our cast grew, doubled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We triple doubled our cast. The energy, when you add more people, you add more energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I say, just letting people do what they naturally do best.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to let, you know, and let you be, you know, great in your role.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what really got us to California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our whole team, everybody couldn't make it, you know, but people still played their role. You know, even though they knew they wouldn't get on the plane with us,
mm.
their role still was being played, you know, all the way till we got here,
mm-hmm.
you know, the whole route.
Mm. Yeah. And that's really what creates dynasty championship teams
mm-hmm.
when everybody, you know, is secure in their role.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're okay being the person that they are and they can lend support wherever else is needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call it the Caribbean mindset. You know, as Caribbean, you know, that mindset is, you know, you got 15 jobs. You're going to play whatever roles necessary to make sure that the job gets done.
Right.
And
the bills stay paid.
Yeah, and the bills stay paid. And nobody's losing, you know, And that family concept in the Caribbean family, everybody's working,
mm-hmm.
you know, everybody's pitching in. And when you have people that are like-minded in that capacity, you can't help but win,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't help but be successful because like for me and him, we have a concept of not letting the ball drop,
mm-hmm.
you know? So if, like even with our films, there were times where he had a whole lot on his plate to where there were certain sections he couldn't edit.
Mm.
So because I know how to edit and I know how to do those things, boom, I took on that role. And I said, all right, give me this, let me blah, 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 you know, and mm-hmm. then we mm-hmm. then pinged it back off of each other to make sure we were cool with the work, that it was where we wanted it to be together. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, all right, bro, this is it.
Yeah, that's it.
And so we stayed in checks and balances the key mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that we're bouncing it off, and we're really good at making sure that we talk it out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, talk it all the way out. Mm-hmm. Cause, you know, like he said, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, he realizes mm-hmm. he's not perfect. Mm-hmm. But when we talk it out, we work it to a perfect place to where mm-hmm. we can now move it forward yep. to the next
there
thing. And so that was really key and important as far as when it comes to this type of thing. So mm-hmm. Team players are important. Everybody understanding their role and being willing to pick up the pieces wherever and never let the ball drop.
Yeah, no, I agree. And definitely no one man should be above the crew, and everyone right. knows their role specifically and is playing that role to a T. You can't help but win. You yeah. know what I'm saying? And yeah, yeah, man, because egos could be a big, it could deteriorate the whole plan. It's killing, you know what I'm saying? It's and sometimes that becomes a conflict early on when yep. it's not even necessary.
Especially in this industry.
Yeah. yeah.
Because you need ego to even wake up in the morning mm-hmm. in this industry. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to have a certain amount of
confidence
and balls.
Yeah,
you feel
yeah, yeah.
me? To do the stuff we're doing. This is ambitious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we from the South, way on the other side of the United
States.
Bottom
of the map, yeah.
You know, and we hear like, what up?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
with our chest out. Like, yeah, hey, yeah. where's that?
Right, right.
And you know, and so you have to have that ego. You got to have it, but you got to know how to check it. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, you know what? Let me sit it down. We're going into the meeting. Put mm-hmm. Leave the ego outside. Mm-hmm. We're going to eat lunch and talk about how to get it done. Mm-hmm. You know?
No, that's a fact. That's a fact, bro. Like, I came out here I came from New York originally, but when I had the dream to come to LA, I was in Florida. I was yeah. in Tampa. And, you know, I drove out here. It took me 5 days, mm-hmm. but I knew when I was coming to eat.
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wasn't coming back.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So, trust me, I feel you. Like, even
yeah.
when you said you get out here, like, yo, where it's at? Like,
right.
you got to out-hustle the hustlers
yeah.
out here. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So, I get that, bro, to a T, man. So how'd you come up with Agent X? Because that was your brain, baby,
yeah.
right?
So, Agent X, it really came about, it was a lot of talk about a black 007.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't going to do it, you know? And
mm-hmm.
and I was like, well, why, as filmmaker, why are we waiting for someone else to cast us as a secret agent? You know,
mm-hmm.
let's build our own secret agent. You know, build our own story, our own franchise, because Agent X is a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cartoons, comic books, graphic novels, you know,
mm-hmm.
maybe even video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know where it ends. Was getting a cast for an action figure.
Yeah.
And we're gonna really
I'm gonna be an action with the Kung Fu
group. Yeah, yeah. and it's really like saying that, hey, we don't got to wait for Hollywood to have positive black images. We can make the positive black images.
That's a fact.
And it's an independent. We don't have no big brother, you know, tapping in on our script.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want it to end like this. It's
mm-hmm.
going to end like, you know, we're going to end on top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're going to stay on top the whole movie. We're not going to have, you know, those little glitches. You know, it'd be little glitches in the store, like,
yeah.
why they put that there?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
Exactly.
Because somebody put it there.
Right.
You know, Big Brother reached in, like, no, they got to die.
You know, y'all can
have the most fun you want,
mm-hmm.
but at the end, it got to go down.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to ride off in the sunset. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's my philosophy.
Right.
We're going to write stories where we're going to ride off in the sunset. You know,
right.
like when we did Drops,
mm-hmm.
they rode off in the sunset. You
yeah.
know, that was intentional. You know, and it was intentional because we don't always have to be on the losing end.
Right. Yeah, I remember that whole Drop era, and it was I forgot what was the girl name that got caught in the newspaper. They did a BET thing about her too, and I was there.
I can't think of her real name, but first lady was a.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a crazy story, man. And it was, I was around for that era, you know what I'm saying? And it was just seeing it happen was like, wow, like, this shit is real. And just to
really
see it go
real.
Down. Yeah, mm-hmm. to see it go down the way it went down, it was crazy. But that's cool that you made a movie about it because mm-hmm. not too many people knew about
yeah,
that
right.
until, you know, they caught wind of
yep,
it the way
yep.
it went down. So,
yeah, it really was a story written out of headlines. It was ripped from the headlines. Mm-hmm. And we based the script off of actual events. Mm-hmm. You know, people who were actually getting, you know, into trouble and were actually doing things. Mm-hmm. But it was a fantasy story, completely made up. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't, you know, we didn't try to take someone's life and get them in any trouble. Yeah. So what we really did was just kind of made a fictional story based on reality.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, based on true events.
Based on true events.
Based on true events.
You know, mm-hmm. and it was actually a success. First Lady and the crew actually were involved for a short time mm-hmm. before they started getting in trouble, mm-hmm. and they pulled back their support because they didn't want to get in
conflict
trouble.
Of interest
and
we told
them straight up, "Thank y'all for all y'all help."
Yeah,
you know, we from across the bridge. We weren't in Tampa.
Yeah, yeah.
We were from St. Pete, but. You know, they welcomed us. I got to give First Lady and her crew a shout out. They welcomed us, brought us in.
Yeah.
Open on.
Yeah.
You know, but they had started getting into trouble. So they was like, "Hey, can you cut my scene out? Can you cut my oath?" So, you know, I'm the editor.
Yeah.
So I cut everybody's scenes out, you know, because we don't want y'all to get in no trouble around our project.
Yeah, yeah.
So in our
that
project.
That could have got you in trouble, too.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. in our project, it's only actors and actresses.
Yeah.
No real figures are actually in the project.
Right.
And that was like a decision that was greatly made, but yeah, because that was a serious situation.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I just hope nobody's trying to do it now because they got the magnifying glass. They looking for that activity, you know. But
Walk life. Microscope.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah, walk life.
Walk life.
That's what's up, man. Okay. So now, you got this deal with AMC. Where you can do screenings at every AMC in the U.S. of A?
That's world.
In the world. Okay, so how did that deal come about, and what did you have to negotiate? Like, how was that conversation, like, from A to now? Like, how did that happen?
I mean, it started back with when the being able to be in the theater was in the hands of the general manager. And, you know, I, this is why I always say, you know, networking is key.
Yeah.
Because in this industry, in this business, even in life, period, the you move up based off of the who you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the who you know is who's vouching for you
mm-hmm.
to that person that can put you in that position to do whatever it is you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much a lot of the way that it happened for me was that at the time it was in the hands of the GM. I got to know the GM through actually a friend of mine
mm-hmm.
who was actually working concessions at the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a part of my music band at the time. And they was like, "Hey, you know, my boss, you know, is the boss of, you know," it wasn't AMC at the time. It was Movie Co.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my boss is the GM of Movie Co where I work. And, you know, I can, you know, I know you're doing movies and stuff like that. You know, I can talk mm-hmm. to them about maybe seeing if there is a chance to get it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "All right, well, cool. Yeah. Hook me up, get, you know," and I was prepared. You know, I had a trailer ready.
Mm-hmm.
I had a press release ready. I had, you know, I was already thinking these things for mm-hmm. when this opportunity came
mm-hmm.
To, you know, have, because I know that's what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see something that's already close to the standard of what's
being played.
Right.
Already.
Being
yeah.
played already.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that, you know, I had to at least match that. So I started studying the elements of what it takes to get that look,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that when I present it, even though, I mean, I have all of that. It looks as though I have this big backing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it looks as though, you know.
It's that quality standard.
Right.
Yeah.
So so with that, he got me the opportunity to talk to her. I talked to her. I showed her what I had. And so she was like, "Okay, you know, let me talk it over with a couple people. You came highly recommended mm-hmm. from my associate. And, you know, and I like him."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it pays to have the people that's vetting for you that they have good reputations
yeah,
as good, well.
Good relationships.
Yeah, because people trust that, you
right.
know. So needless to say, through us being prepared, you know, for that opportunity, having all the right things in place to make them feel comfortable about a screening, we were able to screen in the theater. They didn't make me pay the rental fee, because anybody can rent a theater. Mm. It's just a matter of how much they're going to make you pay to be there.
Right.
You know, because if somebody really doesn't want you to be someplace, they're going to jack the rate up sky high.
To where you can't.
Where you're like, you can't, or you're going to really do it. Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so, and that's part of what I was thinking was going to happen. But based on the growth of the relationship, you know, talking and the commonalities that were there, you know, they came back and they said, all right, well, only thing we're going to charge you is the general liability fee.
Okay.
You know, that's insurance. Pay the insurance and, you know, we'll let you screen, let you have a theater for 4 hours. And, you know, and it just kind of went from there.
And this is in any AMC location.
Yeah. This was, you know, at the time. So from that relationship I built back then, mm-hmm. as it changed,
okay.
I made sure that I stayed in connection with whomever it was changing to. Mm-hmm. So when that GM left, mm-hmm. I got to know the GM that was replacing them. Mm-hmm. And the GM that was leaving, I made sure that before that GM left, that I had something scheduled with them again, so that when they turned it over to the next GM, my name's already
being mentioned.
Right. It's already being mentioned.
Now, before you continue, not to interrupt, because that's a key thing right there, because you said you made sure that you were in connection with the person leaving and the person coming. Explain that process. Like, how are you making sure? Like, did you have a schedule to hit them up? Okay, I'm gonna hit them up once every 2 weeks. I'm gonna say this, or, you know, I'll send the card. Like, how are you facilitating this communication?
So with that, I would pop into the theater. Mm-hmm. But I popped into the theater with the purpose. Mm-hmm. So the purpose was to set another date.
Okay.
And so that kept me in constant communication, because I'm trying to get another date in the theater. Mm-hmm. So as I talked to this GM, you know, GM's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to be here much longer. In fact, I'm on my 2 weeks, and I'm going to be transferring to another theater in Seattle. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I will, you know, make sure that we keep this information and I pass it on to the next GM. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, cool. Well, who's the next GM? His name is blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there, it was like, okay, cool. So can I meet with him, you know, once he, you know, comes in, can you set up a meeting so that I can, you know, talk to him and let him know what we're going to be doing and give him the same information? Oh, sure, not a problem. Mm-hmm. And so, boom, they connect me with that person. So when that person comes in, I make sure day one that they're starting, that I come in and I make sure I introduce myself, you know, and I referenced the last GM, you know, that was there, and talk about the things that had happened, so to show that there was an already established relationship. And so with that, this GM now feels comfortable, because you already know everything that's going on. So I was able to tell this new GM about the projection, you know, how the projection works, telling them what our setup's going to be, telling them what theater we were in the last time, you know. So showing familiarity with the location made the newer GM feel comfortable, like, okay, this guy knows what's going on, right?
What he's doing.
So I'm not coming fresh off the block trying to make something happen. It's like
this already is emotion,
right? It's already established. So I made them feel as if I was already in an in-house presence already. All the way down to the staff, I made sure that I connected with each of the people working, so that when I came in and I go to the ticket booth, like, hey, can you go get Kevin for me? You know, and they're like, okay, hey, you're the guy with the movie. Yeah, I am. All right, cool. Nice to meet you. So, you know, and even the people working the concessions, I made sure that I made contact with different people so they recognize who I am. So when I come into the theater, there's that commonality, you know, that familiarity, and they're not questioning anything. I can't tell you how many movies I've seen for free just because I walked in and they're like, hey, man, come on back. You know, cool. I mean, they're not even asking me, you know. And so, I mean, even to this day, I can still walk into our theater, and because I kept the relationships, you know, I can walk in. Well, now we can walk in, and, you know, nobody's questioning me, because, you know, when they stop you if you ain't got a ticket. You know, but now I can just walk right past them and nobody's trying to say, hey, do you got a ticket? You know, so and that's a beautiful thing, you know, and I dare not take that for granted or, you know, try to take advantage of that, which is why I say I always go in with purpose. Mm-hmm. But with that, and I think that's key too, in everything that we are trying to do in the next steps, whomever you're going to talk to, wherever it is you're going, you always got to walk with purpose. I always have a date in mind to an event coming up. Mm-hmm. So that when I get asked about something, I have something to tell somebody as mm-hmm. to what to expect, you know, that's coming up mm-hmm. so that they now can now get it in their minds and they get ready to, they can tell somebody else, mm-hmm. you know, what's about to happen or what's coming up, you know, in that regard. I don't know. It's just, this is a loaded question.
No, that's good. And basically you gave the answer flawlessly, because basically I wanted to give my audience in the mind frame to what facilitating a connection is mm. for the greater goal. You yeah. see what I'm saying? Especially when, you know, somebody who doesn't really, is not a people person, does great communication skill, don't know how to network, would have, you know, been buckling up at the knees once they heard the GM was going to move to a different position. Like, right. damn, like, oh, what am I going to do? Right.
There goes my opportunity.
Exactly. Right. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that, you know, you took the high road and was like, you know what, nah, this is an opportunity. This isn't an obstacle.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
that's good that you said that. Mm-hmm. This is an opportunity and not an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not being afraid to embrace the challenge. Because mm-hmm. A lot of people, they get so compartmentalized in their thinking that it's hard for them to see outside of the box or even challenge themselves to begin to think mm-hmm. outside the box or figure out another way to make it happen. And that's one thing that I do like about our relationship is that, you know, whenever we are faced with a challenge, you know, we already start thinking out of the box. Oh, what is some, you know, yeah. automatically it's like, okay, boom, this is what we up against. All right, how do we get around it?
You like know? What? Like, what were some of the challenges you two together faced that you guys
came together? One of the challenges is when our co-stars died, during
Richard. What was his name?
Richard. Yeah. So when Richard passed, we maybe had one or two extra clips.
Mm.
You know, we really was foe. We was like, hey, yeah. what to do?
Yeah.
I remember the call, like, hey man, you know, Richard just died. What? We just planning to shoot. And we pushed a couple of shootings back. Mm. Oh, hold on, we'll just do it next week. Oh, well, put it off to the week after. And then we get the call, we're like, oh man, what we're gonna do? We're like,
he's a man.
45% through the project. So we got another 48% to do, 50% to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, what to do? You know, we just talking about, hey, we're gonna kill the character off. What are we gonna do? You know, like, you know, we really trying to
brainstorm.
Right? We really rolled our way out of there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it was a hurt to the team because Richard was more than just a co-star. Mm-hmm. He was like intricate into everything we're doing, setting up meetings and, you know, really using his white privilege. He was an elderly white man,
mm-hmm.
like really using his white privilege to help get us in the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm going to go. And then when we have a meeting, y'all walk in. Clearly,
he was kicking the door down for you guys.
Clearly out to help us. Like what he fell in love with what we were doing. Mm. He seen it and respected the vision. Hey, yeah, we coming to Hollywood was on our list.
Mm.
You know, coming up here. But overcoming those obstacles and turning them into opportunities, really like what that's why we're here.
Mm.
I mean, we really turned some obstacles into opportunities and made what we do it better because of it.
Mm. That's what's up, man. Yeah, and God rest his soul, man. I'm sure, you know, you guys were close. And, you know, even with that, you know, like the fact that he passed away, it still didn't stop you guys. You know what I'm saying? It only made you strong because at the end of the day, the objective, nothing changes.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up. Okay. So now what's next for Agent X? Because you tell me this was a franchise. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to do the cartoons. Well, I'll let y'all tell me. Tell me the... What's the plan for that, for the franchise? Like, where do you see the franchise going ultimately?
I mean, franchise, we're it's episodic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we just screened here recently here in L.A., or what we're touring, is the first part.
First episode
mm-hmm. Of the series. We're getting ready to film the next episode that's coming March 2020 to start to work on that. And, you know, we'll start filming the second episode And I mean, we're going to continue it out, you know, as far as we can, you know, I mean, because we have the power and we have the growing interest in it. So now we'll be able to add in some other writing elements. Yes. Some other writers will be able to actually incorporate other people in on this, you know. And it's not just a franchise by the movie itself. Mm-hmm. It's a franchise by the network of people that we're going to be able to now connect to this work, mm-hmm. you know, and build the franchise through that. Build a French franchise of networking individuals to now make even bigger stories, better mm-hmm. stories, and broaden the horizons of what we're doing, and give other people opportunities to actually be able to work within their passions, you know, as we get to work within our passion, you know. But along with the franchise of this Agent X movement is what I like to call it. We're working on a cartoon, like he said before, and you know that is episodic, you know, within itself. Yeah.
I think that's gonna be big. Like after watching the screening yesterday and putting a cartoon to what I saw, like I think that would work better. You know, to be honest, in my opinion, you know what I'm saying. So we'll continue.
Yeah. So you know, so with that, it also allows us to be able to reach bigger audiences, because with the cartoon, you now can reach a younger demographic. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, young people outnumber older people. Mm-hmm. And so to have the live action, you know, movie, and then have a cartoon version of the movie, you know, as well, with different, that spins off into even different elements that the movie, you know, it allows you to be able to reach a wider mass of people, period. Mm-hmm. And so, and then, you know, you break that down into the comic books, graphic novels, you break that down as to, you know, what Jabbar was saying about the action figures, which is really cool. The fact that I get to be, you know,
active,
as a kid, you know, you're playing with, you know, Transformers,
G.I. Joe,
Spider-Man's, the whole, you know, getting to play with these. And to know that, you know, you're going to be one like that, that's like a dream come true all within itself. And so, but, you know, and then to be honest there, I don't think we have a cap on where this can go.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I really don't believe there is a cap. So as far as franchising, you know, is spread. It's a global thing, you know, just like these franchises of these restaurants and things of that nature, they're spread. And, you know, and then in that, you know, each franchise kind of operates a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the same rules, but you're now able to modify some things based on your demographic or where you are. Right. So what I'm saying with that is that as we spin off to these different layers of Agent X, and in this franchise, the cartoon is taking on a different, you know, lane, right?
Yeah.
The movie is taking on a different lane. The graphic novel is taking on a different lane. And so, and then who knows what else comes after that, you know? Based on where the world goes and where technology goes, we can move Agent X with that and create a whole nother lane for another line of people to work that angle, you know, as far as a part of the franchise. Mm-hmm. And now Agent X is everywhere, like McDonald's, you know, like Burger King.
Have you thought about, do you guys are opposed to, like, I don't want to say selling it. Well, let's say, for example, selling it. Like, if Paramount came and said, yo, we love the idea, we want to franchise it, we want to, you know, buy the rights to it.
I mean, we got to really have some conversations, but I definitely think that, you know, ownership is key.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, retaining ownership is going to be key in any discussion.
Mm-hmm.
To some discreet, I mean, some just, you know,
within
reason, but because this is about ownership. That's why we did it, you know. And I don't think completely selling out 100% is ever going to be really on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have to, you know, you're not going to make $1 billion and only give me $1 million.
Not at all.
You know, that story is not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna be tethered to this.
Yeah, we're gonna negotiate.
Yeah, we're gonna have some conversations.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's not out the park. We definitely would entertain Paramount or any you know, real serious studio investor, and really, you're serious, come on. Because we have something that can be, you know, funded, and we can make a bill, you know, two bill, you know, if the right people get behind it. So we'll definitely, definitely allow you to be compensated fairly. We're definitely, we're all about that. All our actors, we're all about fair compensation. So, yeah, but that would be, you know, a good goal, but it wouldn't be the ultimate goal. You know, the ultimate goal would be ownership and really, you know, having something for us by us.
It would just be the start.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, a lot of these studios, they're looking for that next big thing, the next Black Panther, you know, the next whatever, you know, Asian X is that.
Right. Well, I wish you guys much success. And like the conversation we had earlier, you know, I'm definitely excited to be a part of it and help you guys, you know, get it to where you want it to be to push it to the next level. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited for the journey, man. You know, it's like they said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, man. We've been at this for like 20 plus years, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, man. So what advice can you give to up-and-coming filmmakers who just are really, like the people back home in Florida, I mean, they see this on TV, what we doing out here. You know what I'm saying? To them, it's probably not even fathomable that it can happen to them. You know what I'm saying? So what kind of advice can you share to them, to, you know, little Jabbar, little Cranston, a little Johnny at home trying to get into the game?
Get to know people. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and tell people what it is that you do and what it is you're aspiring to do. That is my number one message to anybody. First thing I always say, you know, open your mouth, tell people what you do, tell people what you aspire to do. And just from that right there, it has really helped catapult me, you know, way ahead of where I thought I would ever be. And when, cause I mean, there was a time where, you know, I wouldn't tell people, you know, what I do. You know, because I thought I was bragging. I thought that I was, I thought that I wasn't worthy enough to even be speaking, you know, in that capacity. So when someone said, what you do, I'd go and say, you know, I work for a grocery store, you know, versus saying, what do you do? I'm an actor, you know, and I'm wanting to get into movies. I'm really trying to get into, the industry to do more work. I want to be on television. I want to do commercials. I want to do, you know, and when I started saying these things to people, you know, then they'll say, well, what have you done? And then I'll say what I've done. And then they'll say, oh, well, you know what? My brother is the executive director for blah, 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 you know, and I should introduce you to him, you know, because you seem like somebody that he's looking for. And from there, you got the, like I was saying earlier, you got the someone vetting for you to this person that's in this position that can help you.
That they trust.
Right, that they trust. So on their word, you know, or you meet somebody's mom whose son is, you know, in the industry, and mom says, hey, I met this young man that I want you to talk to. Well, coming from mom, you're not going to be like, mom. Because it's mom. And mom, you're going to listen to mom. But you get what I'm saying in that regard. So honestly, networking is key. Opening your mouth, telling people what you aspire to do, what you're trying to do. You never know who you're talking to. And then the last thing that I would say is, you know, continue to study your craft, you know. Continue to, if you're trying to be an actor, then study being an actor. Look at more movies, you know, look at more television, look at more commercials, look at, I mean, just look at everything that's in line with what you're trying to do, and, you know, and align yourself, you know, in that regard. For me, like I was saying earlier about how I got into the movie theater the first time, it was because I was prepared. I did the research on how to get things to look like what I see on television. So, I mean, all the way to, and nobody, please don't do this because you might get in trouble. But all the way to when I did my first trailer, I knew that anytime I was in a movie theater, and I saw a trailer. It had that green. You know, that said,
agency is watching. Right.
Approved by the MPAA, whatever, you know. Yeah. And so I said, okay, that's what makes a trailer legitimate. If I don't see that in front of before this trailer plays, then I'm not going to take it as a real deal.
Right. So but there's a reason why that's there.
Right. Right. There's a reason why it's there, but I knew for the person who I'm showing this to, for them to respect the fact that this is a real film, you know,
they had to see that,
they needed to see that. So I made sure that I found it. I ripped it off of YouTube. I put it in front of my trailer. Mm-hmm. And when I went and showed them, right, automatically it was okay. Wow. And so, and I mean, it really changed their perception on how they viewed my film, the project, versus them not seeing that in front of it and it just going right into the movement of the footage. And so I can almost guarantee you, had they not have seen that, it would have been like, okay, this is nice, versus, oh wow, this is like, it's really gonna be a good movie. Because our mindset is just that. I mean, all the way down to, and I know I'm going on a tangent, but these are some realities that are
jewels,
out there,
brother.
To, you know, for a lot of us, you know, we're actors, and so when we tell somebody that we act, the first thing they say is, "Well, what have I seen you in?" Mm-hmm. Right? And we're on the independent side of it. So we've not been in a major motion picture that they would have seen on the screen, would have seen a preview for something that they can easily relate to.
Identify with,
right. Yeah. Then it's like, oh, you ain't no real actor. You still playing. You know, you still trying. Okay. I know not to take you for real, for real. I know not to get starstruck or really, you know, buy into the idea of following, you know, your journey, because you still trying.
Yeah, you know? I mean, and I feel you on that. And honestly, I don't think that matters. You know, like, as far as it shouldn't matter to you, because your journey is going to continue with or without the support.
Right. Yeah. And so with that.
So don't let it discourage you, is what I'm saying.
So yeah, so definitely don't let it discourage you. But where I was going with that is that in the lines of what grabs people's attention. So I knew that people wanted to be able to attach you to something. Mm-hmm. So that was another reason why I had that green in front of that trailer. Mm-hmm. So when I tell somebody that I'm an actor and, you know, I'm on the independent side, when I say, well, let me show you my trailer. And then I show them the trailer, and the first thing they see is that green parental guidance. Or
they've seen that before.
Right. They can identify with that. So they know, okay, this must be a legit movie because that green is in front of it. Mm-hmm. And so now they're looking at you, you know, a lot different. Mm-hmm. And now when you tell them it's getting ready to screen, it's going to be in the movie theater. I mean, that's really how I did a lot of my marketing and promo. Mm-hmm. When I was meeting with people and just, you know, out in the streets and things of that nature, I was able to show them that trailer and then tell them it's going to be in the movie theater. Mm-hmm. Those are things that they can identify with. Making sure I had something in the newspaper. You know, something that people can identify with, because these are the main media, you know, getting a commercial to show on television, even if it's on, you know, public access or a local station, things of that nature, things that people can relate to, getting an advertisement, even if it's on an AM station and not an FM station, you know, people easily relate to those things and take you more serious when you're on those platforms. Mm-hmm. So platforms are key, you know. So platforms are key for me, and what helped me to be able to inspire people to pay more attention and be more interested in what it was that I had going on. Mm-hmm. And through that building interest, they were able to now see the talent that I had. They were able to see the quality of the work. They were able to see the drive, hustle, determination, all those things that they would not have seen if they were already put off by, you know, the things that wasn't making it real for them, you know? So like us being here in LA, you know, this is something, people are now seeing this as, whoa, them boys ain't playing.
They ain't playing.
You know, this is real, you know? And so these are tangible things that really help inspire people. And people are looking for a source of inspiration. They're looking at us, you know, and following our journeys to say, okay, I'm this close to this guy. Mm-hmm. I've known this guy for like all this time. And, you know, I never thought that I would see him, you know, in this position. So now that I see him, I've always wanted to do it myself, you know, and now you're somebody that I can touch. You know, you're somebody that I can talk to. You're someone that I can get some information, some insight from. So that now makes me feel better about even attempting to pursue this because I see you, you know, I see
what's happening. You made it possible for me,
So igniting people's dreams, you know, into reality is really what has been a part of the inspirational drive for me. And really, I could say for both of us, because in what we're doing now, that's really what it's been. It's been an ignition, an igniting of people's dreams into reality. I mean, the number of people that have come out the woodworks to me to say, hey, man, I want to write, you know, can you help me, you know, help me, you know, get better in what I what I do. You know, I want to be in movies, you know, even if it's an extra. Can you, you know, help me, you know, to even I always wanted to have that experience to know what it's like to be on set. Can you help me, you know, to have that experience? And to be in a position to be able to provide that for people, you know, that's the most rewarding feeling, you know, that you can have, especially in this industry. I mean, look at what Tyler Perry's doing, you know, look at what he's done, you know, and how many careers he's helped catapult, how many dreams he's helped, you know, ignite into reality, you know, and I mean, to be honest with you, when you're living within your passion, you live a happier life.
That's a fact.
You know, I mean, look at you, you know, I mean, we've known each other for forever, you know, and for you to be out here in LA, I mean, you got us in a movie room, man, you know what I'm saying? We all camel colored couches and, you know, in a movie room on your show that's called Sleepers for Billionaires, you know, and that's huge, man.
Man, appreciate it, man.
That is huge. And so, I mean, I'm just saying, and just in what you're doing, you know, you're helping to ignite someone's dream into reality because they've seen where you come from and see where you are now and what you're doing and that you're not letting nothing stop you. And when people see that, you know, it creates a drive.
Right.
And so, you know.
Light a fire in them.
Yeah. Right. And so I know I belabored the question of the what you do, what to help you, tools to help.
It's perfect. Continue.
You know? But yeah, man, but I mean, I just really, really, really am passionate, you know, about networking. I can't say that enough. Getting to know people, building relationships. You ain't gotta be best friends. You know, and a lot of people they get
acquaintances,
stuck.
Right. That's it.
They get stuck on that. They get stuck on, you know, we gotta be ace, boom, coon, buddies. You know, we got to be down like four flats to know Jack. And you can't be that with everybody.
Yeah, man. Especially people like of positions of power because they ain't got that kind of time.
Right.
They ain't even best friends with their mama. Right. You know what I'm saying? But they acquaintances with everybody. They know everybody. Everybody know them. And they talk to them when they need to talk to them. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, because it's about the work. It's about, you know, progressing to that next level of where you're trying to go. And, you know, and it's nothing to create hard feelings or it's nothing to be negative. But, you know, when you have a grind and you're trying to get somewhere, you know, it's about increasing, boosting your quality of life, you know, and that's what everybody, I think everybody's goal is to boost their quality of life, which is why we go to work every day, you know, which is why we're not afraid to invest in our own, you know, work, even when we don't have other sponsors to help us do that, we're willing to work harder so that we have enough capital to put in so that we can get this work because we know that we're trying to boost our quality of life. And I think in saying that segued me to another point. Don't be afraid to invest in yourself, you know, because no one has your drive or your passion.
Right.
No, because they don't know what it fully is for you. And so if you're not willing to fund your own dream and you're waiting on somebody else to just fund it, then, yeah, you're going to be sitting on that dream for a long time. Right. But when you're willing to invest and start taking steps towards your dream, your goal, the what it is you're trying to do, all these things just start falling into place, you know. I mean, like us, I mean, we've been self-funded since we started, you know, we've been funding our own dreams since we started. And as people see us continuing to move forward, you know, on our own, now we're able to attract other people to sponsor because they see that, all right, they already have these things in line. They have already proven that they can get into these places. So now that people are able to attach a track record to what we're doing, it makes them feel more comfortable now to sponsor. It makes them feel more comfortable to now invest, you know, because we now have built a portfolio or a resume of work that shows that we know what we're doing, you know. And so I really think that is key, that you not be afraid and be willing, you know. Matter of fact, you have to invest in yourself, you know, first. You have to be willing to invest in yourself first in this industry. As an independent artist, you have to be. I mean, I was trying to be nice about it, but yeah, there's no way around it.
Yeah, you have to, bro.
You have to be willing. If you're not willing, then
nobody else will.
Right.
I want to say this. Teamwork and having a team. So one of the keys to anyone who has succeeded in life is the team and the people you have around you. Like Crane was saying, we attracted people to us. And those people became crucial allies and crucial pieces in our puzzle. You know, it's only me and him sitting here right now, but it's maybe another 12, 13 people, 14 people who carried us here, you know, whose backs we're standing on. And I want to shout all them out.
Shout out to the whole team.
Whole team, cast, crew. It's too many people just to name off the top of my head, and I don't want to leave nobody out. But, you know, from sending emails to sending Facebook posts to whatever they're doing, contributing to helping us get where we're going. And in return, we got to keep and look out for them. You know, because I haven't seen a one-man success show. That's even when it's a solo artist, it's still 20 people.
That's a fact.
It's still 20 people behind. You know, even if it's a one-man band, even when you see David Chappelle on stage by himself, it's another 20, 30 people.
Right behind
him. Behind him making that show go flawless.
Kevin Hart, any celebrity. I mean, Jay-Z, Beyonce. I mean, you name any iconic figure, you know, there's a ton of people behind them that's making it possible for them to be who they are, you know. And as you grow in this industry, it's a lot of work. People don't understand just how much tireless work goes into tedious work, you know. I mean, because all your I's got to be dotted, T's got to be crossed, and you as one individual don't have time to do it all. So you got to have somebody on your side that's going to help cross that T for you, you know, that's going to help dot that I, you know. And I mean, yeah, he's absolutely 100% correct. Teamwork is...
makes the dream work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes it, yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I wish you guys much success, you know, pray for it all, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to being a part of it. Let the people know where they can follow you guys and keep up with the new film and what other places you're going to be screening so they can come check it out.
Cool. First, agentxthemovie.com is where you can see more on Agent X itself. The website, it has everything. I mean, links to the IG, links to the Facebook, more information on the film itself. The trailer is there. It don't have the little green in front of it, but the trailer.
It will soon, though.
Yes.
Next time.
Yeah, next time.
Yes, it will soon. But everything's there. If you want to follow me on IG, I'm Amazing Cran, AmazN Cran, CRAN. And that's pretty much everything. Facebook, IG, you at me at Amazing Cran. You'll find me, see my nice handsome face.
And you, what's your social media?
My social media, Shawty Soprano. Just follow me at Shawty Soprano on all social sites.
There we go. There it is, man. Well, thank you guys for coming through. You know, it's been a pleasure, man.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And the opportunity yesterday to see a film, you know.
Thank you for coming out, man. I appreciate that.
You already know. I told you I got you, man. And before we go, man, you got any music dropping or what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got a new single out right now. The group that I'm with, Rain, we just dropped a new single, which is kind of like it's like a wedding ballad. You know, I also can go a gospel way as well. But it's called My Heart Belongs to You. We just dropped that.
Is it on Spotify, iTunes, yep, everywhere?
So everything. So My Heart Belongs to You, Rain. And we're working on some new music. We're working on the soundtrack for Agent X as well. So we definitely be talking about that. But still in the music grind, you know, I mean, music is what got me in the door to acting. And, you know, I can't let that go. It truly is a part. So
yeah, same here, man. And I think that grind, since I've been in that mostly all my life before coming out here, I think that's what really toughened my skin to encounter all the obstacles that I'm facing today.
Right.
With going through that grind, because that grind is still going. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I needed to go through that process and grind and fearlessness to get to where I'm at today.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because I'm still pushing forward. You know what I'm saying? It's not, I ain't make it. Right. You know what I'm saying? I ain't Denzel. I ain't Jay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm sleeping for billionaires.
It is.
Thank you for watching and subscribe to the channel.
Sleepers for Billionaires.
And we out. Boom.